Well, that's the next.
We have to thank everyone for coming. Want to discuss a topic which is very complex and very sensitive, and that's Ta'amei HaMitzvos, finding a rationale for mitzvos. And the Gemara says in Masechet Yuma, you'll see it here on page 1, about the fifth source, Tana Rabbanan es mishpatai ta'asu dvarim shel mole nichtavu dinu sheikosvu. So we have a concept of mishpatim, which means that even hadn't they been written by the Torah, they should have been written by the Torah, meaning even without the Torah we could have anticipated them. And the Gemara goes on to give a whole list of rational mitzvahs that make sense. For example, Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Domim, Gezel, Birchas Hashem. Then the Torah says, Es Chukosai Tishmoru, referring to the Chuk, the Chok, the Chukim. Dvarim Shah Satan, we'll see later that the word Satan here really refers to the Yetzirah within each and every one of us, Va'umos Ha'olam, and the nations of the world, Mishivin Aleihem. And they ask us, come on, is this really a religion? Is this make sense? Is this logical? V'eluhe. He gives a whole list. Achilas chazir, which means the dietary laws. Levisha shatnez, which has defied our imagination, our understanding. Chalitzas yavama, with a sandal. Taras hametzorah, the whole complicated process of purification. Usi'ira mishtaleach. He doesn't mention, by the way, Paraduma, which is what we're going to talk about in Parshas Chukas that we just had not long ago. That was the paradigm that that Shlomo Melch said, Amarti Echkom Avi Rechoka, he couldn't understand, he couldn't grasp the meaning of Paraduma. So the Gemara says, V'shema Tomar, Maaseh Tohuhem. Maybe these mitzvahs make no sense. They're just chaotic. Talmud Lomar Ani Hashem. Whether it's mishpatim or chukim, it's always Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem chakaktiv. I legislated these laws. Ve'em l'cha reshus laharer bohen. You have no permission to doubt them. In the smag, which you'll see right below the Gemara in Yuma, it says ein l'cha reshus laharer achrehem, following them, so to speak. Paraduma, by the way, is not mentioned in the Gemara in Yuma, but it is mentioned in the Rambam in Hilchus Me'ilah. And the Rambam in Hilchus Me'ilah does what he does very often at the end of any section of Halachos. He gives you a little philosophy, a little drush at the end. It's always kedai, if you're interested in the Rambam's philosophical explanations, to look at the end of a section. So here at the end of Hilchus Me'ilah, the Rambam says the following: Ra'ui li adam lehizbonein b'mishpatei haTorah kedosha v'leida sof inyonam kefi kocho. A person should try as best as he can, using the maximum of his abilities, to understand the Torah, to try to go and penetrate to the depths and the of the mitzvos and their meaning. V'davar shelo yimtzelo tam, if he doesn't succeed in certain cases, v'lo yeda lo ila, he doesn't understand the cause for the mitzvah.
Is he talking just about mishpatim or chukim? This is mishpatim.
Right, mishpatei haTorah refers to everything in the Rambam's language, right? So you should try to understand everything in the Torah. And if you don't find something, al yehei kal be'einecha, don't let it be light in your eyes. Don't make with your hand, oh, this doesn't make any sense, I'm not interested, it's illogical. And in secular matters, if you don't understand something, so you chuck it out, the Rambam says that's not the way we should relate to Mitzvos Hashem. And now the Rambam creates his own Kal V'chomer. If you have something that's Hegdesh, which is a physical object, and you misappropriate it, the punishments are severe. Uma, says the Rambam Kal V'chomer, Umaim Eitzim V'avonim V'ofer V'efer. These are inanimate objects that are totally secular and mundane. They have no Kedusha to them. But Kevan Shenikra Shem Adon Ha'olam Aleim, once you say Lashem, and it becomes Hegdesh. B'dvarim Bilvad, just with your vocalization, Niskachu, they become sanctified. V'chol Anoig V'emidak Chol Ma'alba. He's got to atone for even a shogig if he inadvertently uses or misuses these objects because he called the shame on them. Mitzvah. What about a mitzvah? It's pure kodesh. It's straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shechokak lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shelo yivai ta'odam b'hem. He shouldn't kick them. He shouldn't be disrespectful to the mitzvah. And to say, well, I don't understand the mitzvah. It's meaningless. Just because he doesn't understand their reasoning. And then the Rambam goes on later on. It's a long halach. We won't read the whole thing, but he says, "Nemar b'toru shmartem eschukosev eskol mishpatai v'asisem osam." You might have to suspend your rational ability with regard to chukim, but you have to implement them and obey them. Amru chacham liten shmira v'asia. The Torah speaks about shmir being careful and asiyah fulfilling chukim and mishpatim, whether it's positive mitzvos or negative commands. And then the Rambam goes on to say, if you take a look on the top of page 2, HaMishpatim Hema Mitzvot Shetamam Golui. These are mitzvos, the reasoning of which is obvious. It's known to man. It's within grasp. V'tovas asiyosim b'olam hazeh yidua. And even in this world, the physical world, you understand very well and appreciate how the mitzvah will gain, will achieve great goals. Kigon, in order for society to exist, you need an Iser Gezel, Shvichas Dom, you can't have murder going on, and you can't have theft. These are immoral acts which undermine the entire thread of society. V'kibud avaim, to respect parents. V'achukim, but on the other hand, there are other laws and statutes. Hey, mitzvah she'ein tamam yodua. Omru chachamim chukim chakakti, the yitzhar shalom nokfo behen, the yitzhar of a person sort of challenges him and makes him doubt those mitzvos. V'yumos ha'olam eshivin aleihem, and the nations, the world, they start taunting us. Kagon yisur basa b'cholav, yisur basa chazir, basa b'cholav, egla rufa, paraduma. Here he mentions paraduma, maybe he had that in the Girsan Yuma, I don't know. Sorry, meshtaleach. And the Rambam goes on to wax very dramatic over here about David HaMelech, how much pain and suffering he had from the taunting of the Apikorsim and from the Goyim who used to say, oh, you have these chukim and they're meaningless, why do you follow them? And David HaMelech's response was that the more they taunted him and the more they hurled at him words of untruth, the more he was mosif dveikus by Torah. He responded by embellishing the Torah and clinging to the Torah, loving it. And the Rambam goes on to quote different psukim. He mentions even the avodas hakarbonos that are all considered bichlal hachukim. We don't understand them. And yet, says the Rambam, despite this tension, this inner conflict that we face because of all sorts of pressures from without and from within, nevertheless, we have to have both shmira and zahirus with regard to these mitzvot, the chukim, that we don't understand them. And we have to understand that these chukim cannot be treated lightly, just like in the case of me'ilah, physical objects cannot be treated lightly, how much more so the mitzvos, which are kulam kodesh, they're completely sanctified by God. But one thing you see from the Rambam is that there's a tremendous tension over here. Because the pressure is on. We don't understand these mitzvos. How are we to relate to them?
Why doesn't the Rambam mention Shadness?
I don't know. He has a whole different list than appears in the Gemara. He doesn't mention Mitzora over here. He doesn't mention Yevama. Whole different list. But the message, Mikey, is the same. Mm-hmm. Namely, that there are a bunch of mitzvahs, and there are more than one. I mean, even dietary laws. I mean, that itself is so comprehensive. It includes so many different mitzvahs. The Karbonos itself takes up, who knows, hundreds of mitzvahs. And Shatnez, and all the others, and the Rambam adds Paraduma. So you have many, many mitzvahs which seem to defy logic. Are they illogical? Is there no reasoning behind them? So the truth of the matter is that this issue of Tamei HaMitzvahs goes back way before the Rambam, and at the time of the early Rishonim, even back to the Gaonim. For example, I don't know if you're familiar with the Sefer called Emunos V'Deos, it's for Sadr Gaon, or Chovas HaLevavos or Rabbeinu Bechai. They tried to develop a dualism in which they split the Torah into two. They said there are mitzvos sichlios, which are rational, and there are mitzvos miloshon shmiya, shamios, which we listen to without understanding. In other words, we hear it and we obey it. It's nasav and nishma, but we don't understand those mitzvos. Those are the mitzvos which cannot be defined as rational. And therefore the Torah should be divided into those two. And the question, of course, of mitzvahs b'nei Noach, are those sichlios? We can have issues about whether we make a bracha on a mitzvah sichlos. But this fundamental distinction or division, a subdivision, we to categorize mitzvahs, either it's rational, it's a sichliastic mitzvah, we would understand it and appreciate it even if the Torah hadn't been given, or no, it's shamios, it's mitzvahs that we have to hear and obey. Like a soldier in a battalion has no right to question the officer and ask him what's the underlying reason, because if so, if he doesn't understand it, he questions it, the whole he'll create chaos. So too, we are the soldiers of Hashem, and we also have to follow these things. And the Rambam, particularly in the Mor Nevuchim, spent a lot of time to try to reject this, to try to fight against the Rishonim who came before him and find some sort of all-embracing rational explanation for the mitzvot. So by way of introduction, if you take a look on page 1, one of the most perplexing problems that has engaged the minds of the great philosophical thinkers in Yadus in all of Judaism has been this idea of trying to rationalize the mitzvot, make them rationally appealing. And the Rambam is going to encounter tremendous difficulties in doing so. And nevertheless, he dedicates 25 chapters of the Mor Nevuchim to try to solve this problem and to eliminate this dualism. He does not accept that you can break up the mitzvahs into two, and there are mitzvahs that aren't rational. So therefore, the Rambam is going to embark upon an endeavor to explain rationally all the mitzvahs.
He the first one to do this, even with the thinking?
There were those who came before him, but he did it in a what I would call a comprehensive way. He was dedicated to it, but for him it was a methodology, it was a principle. Now what we want to do, and I don't know, I'm not promising you we're going to finish tonight, because this is really sensitive stuff, very sensitive, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do justice. I'm going to try to do the best I can. Is we're going to try to present the Rambam's method. We're not going to go through 25 chapters in the Mor. That we can't do. We just simply don't have the time for that. But we're going to try to show that there's a certain method that the Rambam uses and applies in order to try to bring all the mitzvahs together under one unified rubric called rational. And we're going to try to show that there were many, many Rishonim and Achronim after the Rambam that completely rejected his approach. And I dare say, because I'm a big Rambam fan, that this was the one area in which the Rambam's view was not accepted. There are very few people today who are fans of the Rambam when it comes to his method of trying to explain the mitzvahs. And that's why I say it's a sensitive topic, because even though the Rambam is the great scholar that we follow in so many areas, I mean the Yud Gimel Ikrim, for example, the fundamental principles of the faith, the Rambam's understanding of creation, you know, he spends so much time rejecting Aristotle with the physics of the Rambam. 25 premises of Aristotle, each one is rejected by the Rambam, because Aristotle came to the conclusion that the world always existed, what's called the eternity of the universe. And we accept the Rambam Nevuah. The Rambam has tremendous insights into prophecy and many other areas, teleology and knowledge and different philosophical areas that we accepted the Rambam. But in this area, I'm afraid to say, because it gets me a little upset, but the Rambam's view was not accepted. And I think the reason for that is because the Rambam's approach to Tamei HaMitzvos did not in any way edify the religious experience. It did not give us a spirituality that we needed desperately. Now, there are still people today, and certainly 100 years ago, who will try to rationalize the mitzvahs. Rav Shim Shofar Hirsch, for example, wrote a whole book called Chorev to try to explain the mitzvahs. Rav Kook, for example, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, spends a lot of time trying to explain mitzvahs, like shatnez. He has a whole theory about shatnez. So there are, here and there, there are still shots in the dark in which they try to sort of resurrect the Rambam's approach. But by and large, as a methodological system, there's no one doing it today. Once the Rambam met with such opposition, especially with regard to Karbonos, then his entire method was basically thrown overboard. So as I say, you'll still have echoes today. You'll still hear and there, you know, you'll hear something that sounds like the Rambam, but they're few and far between. There's a whole nother methodology that I think began perhaps with the Rambam, but not the Rambam of the Mor Nevuchim, but the Rambam of the Mishneh Torah. And there's almost a schizophrenia here. It's the same Rambam. And he wrote two major works. But I think we'll see, if we study the Rambam in the Yad HaChazok, in the Mishneh Torah, we'll see a sharply different approach to Tamei HaMitzvos, one that is much more in line with everything that philosophers tried to do since the time of the Rambam, especially the Ramban. Now, before we embark on this whole thing, Jeff, you wanted to ask a question? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is it the methodology of the Rambam that's rejected?
The whole
approach. Or the whole concept of trying
to
search?
No. We're going to offer another way of doing it. That's how it goes. Like, it's not me. I don't want you to think that Azariah Berzin is coming here with a new method against the Rambam. But what I'm going to try to prove to you is that the Rambam himself, in the Yad HaChazaka, already took a different approach. We're going to see it in the Rambam in Shofar, the Rambam in Shabbos, the Rambam in Korbanos, and the Rambam in many different areas, all of a sudden sings a different tune. And the key phrase, please keep it in mind, in the Rambam, in the Mishneh Torah, is Gzeres HaKosov. That's your key phrase. Whenever you see that in the Rambam, perk up your ears. Because that's what the Rambam wants to tell us. There's something called the Gzeres HaKosov. And that concept of Gzeres HaKosov is going to completely undermine the Rambam's methodology in the Mor Nevuchim, his approach to rationalizing mitzvahs, and it's going to give us an opening through which we can approach a new method. A method which I think is very much in line with modern science. If you're a little bit familiar with modern science, what's going on now, that approach, in a different form, to the so-called mitzvos shamios, which we don't, at first glance, intuitively, we don't make any sense, could be the threshold of a brand new approach to the concept of Tamei HaMitzvos. Good? That's what I want to just set the, you know, set the introduction, set the mood for what we want to do. And again, I don't know if anyone here is feeling what I'm feeling now. I mean, I get very emotional about this because it really touches on the heart of what Yiddishkeit is all about.
Mor Nevuchim was much later.
It was much later. I don't want to give you historical explanations for what the purpose of the Mor was and who he wrote it for and all that. I'm not a historian.
The fact that
you'll take that up with, you know, with the Judaica department at Harvard, you know, you'll see. You know what I mean?
But the fact that he took a different approach with the Mor means that he rejected the method that he's going to in the Yad HaChazaka?
I don't think so. I think that the Rambam in the Mora is another person, so to speak, not literally, than the Rambam in the Mora. The Mora in the Mishneh Torah is another Rishon, you know, and I think that's the Rishon that's much, much closer to the method, to opening the portals, the openings for what I think is the method that's going to be accepted by Gdol Yisrael, because it's going to edify, it's going to elevate and sensitize us to spirituality, and it's going to be a whole different method. Okay, then. But I don't want to give away the whole thing yet because we got a ways to go. First, I want to show you a chiddush from the Ger Rebbe, because I think this is very important. If you take a look on page 3, in the middle of the page, the first pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, as you all know, starts with Ve'ela Mishpat. Rashi is bothered by the vav of Ve'ela. And Rashi says, Ve'ela Mosif al Rishonim. Ma Rishonim Misinai, Af Elu Misinai. The Chidush HaRim sees in this Rashi a reference or a hint, an allusion to the split in the mitzvot, the dualism that we spoke about at the onset between what came before Mishpatim and what comes with Mishpatim, meaning those mitzvot that we don't understand and those mitzvot that we do understand. And the Vav is meant to somehow link the two. Says the Chidush HaRim, Shalom Nachshov, we shouldn't think, Shal Mishpatim Ha'ela, that the Mishpatim we're going to embark upon here in this parasha, Kevan Shemuvanim Heim Al Pi Seichel, since human nature and human rational thinking can understand them and can grasp them, therefore you might come to the conclusion, you might be tempted to say, Ein Mekorom Kishar Mitzvah HaTorah. Maybe these are radically different than the ritual laws of the Torah. Elohim tzio osam b'nei Adam. Maybe they were borrowed from human thinking. After all, they all strike a familiar chord in our intuitive moral sense. Therefore, lekacho sifa Torah vav. What is the vav meant to do? Lomar shekmosha rishonim. What does the Rishonim mean? How does the Chidush HaRim interpret the word Rishonim in Rashi? Hayu achukim sheinam uvonim al pi asecha nitnu bar Sinai. There you can't deny it. Clearly, the source was divine because human nature could never come up with those chukim. Kmo chein eila mishpatim nitnu bar Sinai. What I think the Chidush HaRim is doing for us is warning us to be very careful about our approach to Mishpat. Don't entertain for a moment the notion that Mishpatim are humanly understandable. They're rational, they're simple, they're universal, they're intuitive, and they reflect our moral code. A moral code of all humanity. No, take away that universalism. Take the Mishpatim and attach them to the Chukim. Just like the Chukim are statutes that originate clearly in our Sinai, that's the way we should relate to the Mishpat. And I'll tell you what. I'm not sure if the Chidush HaRim meant this, but it's close, I think. If maybe it's ours, but it's his. Once you start approaching Mishpat and thinking they're rational and they're logical, and you start applying your understanding, and you say, oh, I understand why the Torah prohibits perjury, and why the Torah prohibits, and why the Torah tells us to honor our parents, and so forth and so on, you're going to come to all sorts of conclusions. And they may or may not be correct. Even within the Mishpatim, the source, the definition, nay, the very mechanism of the Mishpatim works with Har Sinai like Chukim. The Torah will dictate the way it should work. So therefore, if you want to come and say, thou shalt not murder, is Mishpatim, because every nation of the earth feels for that and understands that and embraces that law, then you might come to all sorts of conclusions about euthanasia and mercy killing and suicide and killing fetuses to save mothers and so forth and so on. Be very careful. Mishpatim are also Me'ar Sinai. And the Torah's law and the way that the Torah operates with rules and regulations, even with regard to something as fundamentally rational as thou shalt not murder, are uniquely divine. Work with their own system and don't begin to separate Mishpatim as if they exist as some sort of book of ethics which our religion has adopted. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond our intellectual understanding of the Mishpatim. It enters into the very area of our emotional motivation vis-a-vis Mishpatim. What should motivate a person to fulfill Mishpatim? Lest one say that my intuitive moral sense leads me to fulfill these mishpatim. It's not so. Asher kidshanu v'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. When we make a bracha, we thank Hashem because you have sanctified us with your mitzvahs. When we do a mitzvah, we do it lishma. We are motivated not because it makes sense to us. If you have a rational explanation for a mitzvah, matov u'manoim. But what should motivate you to fulfill a mitzvah is the fact that this mitzvah has a divine origin. And therefore, comes along the Aruch HaShulchan. And if you were with me when we studied Kibud Avayim, I don't know how many of you fellows were with me when we had a little excursion into the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim. You remember? So the Aruch HaShulchan, which you'll see here on page 4, he goes to town about this mitzvah. And he says that a person might be motivated to fulfill this mitzvah because it's rational, because it makes sense. He says, take a look for example on the bottom of page 2, Kibud Av Va'em, Himei HaMitzvos HaSichlios, V'nispashta B'chol Um V'loshon, V'gam HaKofrim B'Torah Nizharim B'Bnei HaSeichel. This is a logical mitzvah, has universally been accepted by every nation and every language, every race and creed, and a person can be careful about it, even if he's not Jewish, because it's logical, it's rational, it's intuitive. Vanachnu am b'nei Yisrael, but we, the Jewish people, nitztaveinu al kol mitzvah sichlius, even a logical mitzvah. Libli la'asosa b'pnei ha'seichel, says the Aruch HaShulchan, don't fulfill the mitzvah because it's logical. Elo b'pnei tzivui HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'torasa HaKadosha, we should rather be motivated by the fact that the commandment has been mandated and legislated by our holy Torah. Val zeh nemar v'hoya ekev tishmunas ha-mishpatim ha-eila. If you take a look carefully in the pasuk, it mentions mishpatim, and then right before that, it had mentioned u'shmartim ha-chukim v'sa-mishpatim. Why does the Torah connect the two, the chukim and the mishpatim? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, you'll see it on the top, page 3. Certainly what motivates you to fulfill the chok when you don't understand it is the fact that you want to obey God's command. That's what motivates you. Ta'asu, please underline this. Ta'asu mipnei hashmiya. You should fulfill them because you hear and obey the word of God. That's what we have to do. We have to convert the mishpatim into chukim. So once again, Rabbosai, just like we said at the outset, that this dualism in which we split the Torah into two, the logical and the, on the one hand, and the above human logic on the other hand, that has been disputed by the Rambam, because the Rambam is going to tell us that even the Chukim are rational. The Rambam is going to explain the Chukim. There's a move in the opposite direction. Let's reject dualism. Let's combine the Torah into one unity. But not by saying that we understand the rationalization for every mitzvah, what underlies every mitzvah, even the chukim. No, let's do it the other way around. Let's suspend our rational understanding, our appreciation of the intuitive moral code embodied and expressed in the mitzvah sichlios, and let's relate to the mitzvah sichlios as if they were chukim. Exact opposite of Rambam. In other words, we have a triangle here. We have Rabbeinu Bechai, Rav Sajigon at the top of the triangle, who was saying, let's divide the Torah into two parts, two types of mitzvahs. Then we have on the one corner of the triangle to reject that sheet to the Rambam. On the other corner of the triangle, we have the Gedolim of our generations, whether it's the Ger Rebbe for Chassidus or the Aruch HaShulchan for Misnagdus and the Litvak. But it's all the same. The Rambam is going to say, I dispute this distinction, this division, to categorize mitzvahs here or there, sichlios and shamayos, forget it. No. Even the mitzvahs that are chukim, we will find an explanation for. We will rationalize. I mean, the Rambam has a method. So that all mitzvahs are one. Comes along the Gdolim, post the Rambam, and they say, we also will collapse the distinction and combine everything into one, but in the opposite direction. We're not going to start with the chukim and try to rationalize them. We're going to start with the mishpatim and say, don't you fool yourself into believing that you have a human grasp of those mishpatim. That you could predict every law based on ethics. And you could hire an ethicist, who's going to tell you how to determine all the mitzvos that are sichlios. And how, when they apply and when they don't apply. Oh no, there's a higher divine origin. And not only that, but certainly when you're motivated to fulfill those mitzvahs, don't be motivated because it makes sense to you. You may think that Shabbos makes sense, but then one day you'll realize, maybe I don't understand Shabbos. You may think that even perjury makes sense, or murder, or lying, and all the other mitzvot sichlios, and all of a sudden you'll realize, wait a minute, something doesn't click. So be very careful. And the bottom line is that the motivation to a mitzvah should be the same in both chukim mishpatim, namely, Lishma, because Hashem commanded. Yeah.
Is this view even going on what you're supposed to be thinking during the mitzvah? Because according to that, it would seem like every single mitzvah would be the exact same mitzvah. Like, it's very dry. Like, you're doing the exact same thing all day if you're just having the same thought process for everything.
I think the thought process is different because you have to think about how to implement the mitzvah. And every mitzvah has to be implemented in its own unique way. It has its own color, its own flavor, its own complexion. So, for example, I wouldn't say that I should fulfill the mitzvah of Avelus with all the emotional involvement thereof, Avelus on Churban, which we're in now during the 3 weeks, in the same way I would fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. These are radically different mitzvahs, and they take on a whole different emotional status. But if you ask me what motivates me for Simchas HaRegel, or what motivates me to fulfill the mitzvah of Avelus, in both cases it's identical, that God has commanded me. Neil?
What does it mean when we say, according to the all of the shitas that say non-rational, then what in the bracha before the shema, they say lahavin, lahaskil.
Lahavin means to understand the halacha, to delve deeply into the understanding of the halacha, to see how the not so much. We're talking about not the level of explaining and defining the halacha, understanding its nuances. We're on the level of mitzvahs. What's our relationship to a mitzvah? Clearly, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah requires of us and demands of us a rational understanding of every single mitzvah in terms of the laws of the mitzvah. But in terms of what should motivate me and how I should approach the mitzvah, that's something different. Let me just put this on.